This is an ABC podcast.
Take a breath in and hold it.
Testing, 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 testing. Just testing this to see what the levels are like. Here we go.
This is still Jill, staring down ovarian cancer. Jill Emberson's story, told with Liz Keane. Chapter 5, The Wedding.
Oh, what a day. I'm still high on the steroids after the chemo. Malia's been home for a couple of hours. So, so good to have her home for the weekend. Dan and Siobhan are coming down from Brisbane with little baby Declan. I stewed up some strawberries with vanilla ice cream. Mmm, delicious. I know I'm supposed to be on a diet for the wedding, but, well, I did have chemo yesterday. I'm just getting this niggling feeling that I get sometimes, a little flip side to the high emotion of having everybody here. Like, this is so precious. Why can't I have 20 years of this? Ah, oh, here come the family from Brisbane.
What can I hear coming up here?
Hello, gorgeous lady.
Bienvenue.
Merci.
Bienvenue.
You smell good.
I did put a bit of perfume on after my shower.
So what's happening here now is you're going in for your first round of palliative chemo. What is that?
This round of chemo as palliative is basically just trying to keep you alive a little bit longer because they know that when ovarian cancer comes back, it's incurable.
How does going back into chemo and having those regular appointments every month and being back on that treatment, how does that impact on your sort of quality of life in terms of being able to forget, you know, give yourself days or minutes or hours where you can let go?
You're kind of going from the world of where everybody's just doing their thing in your neighbourhood. You forget about cancer. You're in that functional denial space. Then you go into the day chemo ward. The walls lined with Jason recliners and men and women having trolleys of vicious drugs wheeled up to them. It's not like, here's your morning tea. Would you like a coffee and biscuits with that? Would you like this big dose of drugs, madam? And that's what it's like. It's kind of weird. It's like a cafe where you're getting served chemotherapy. So, yeah, you really step outside of life as you wish it was, day-to-day normal life. There's no denying then. I found it hard to not feel defeated by it, Liz, and not feel begrudging. So I hated it, to be honest.
Okay, Kenny, let's carry on with all this wedding planning business. Oh, the big one, the invitations. We actually got started last night. I never thought we would.
The crowning achievement of yesterday was to get into the invitations. We were hoping to get them out on the day before the RSVP was due.
Cynic.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go. This wedding thing is a huge, huge, huge thing.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Seems like a great idea at the time.
I just remembered I have to take my medications, my post-chemo medications. I keep forgetting to take them. I'm getting used to this shit. I'm kind of getting used to being on the chemo, but forgetting to take the medications. It's really important. I'm supposed to take pretty big ones today, aren't I?
Absolutely, the steroids. And that'll keep me fired up for the next few days.
Double dose sleeping tablets in order to wind down at night. The most important thing is, Janine, I did the scan.
Yes.
Have the results come through?
Yes.
Oh, no new tumours.
This is a consultation with my medical oncologist, Dr. Janine Lombard, who has been guiding me and managing and prescribing the chemicals, the medicines for my chemotherapy treatments. And the session I'm having with her here is looking at scans that I had done, CT scans, to have a really close look at the tumours. And the good news in that consult was that there were no new tumours. So, of course, I want them all to disappear, but as you go through, you adapt to what might be good news. So they haven't disappeared, but there's no new ones. So this is good news.
Yeah. The tumour, it'll do what it'll do, but we're doing everything we can to manage it well.
Oh, Janine, thank you for all this time this morning. Better go and get those drugs.
It has worked. It hasn't knocked me about too much. And that, for me, means that I've got this window. So this is the window where Dr. Lombard is really confident of maximum disease management. That's the kind of 4 to 6 months after the chemo. And I can be confident that it's not going to come back. Pretty confident.
So essentially what this chemo is doing is it's buying you time. And it just seems to me like you are just making the most of that window as you possibly can. I mean, is that what, like, you're just like, okay, I'm just going to jump in?
I don't know that I consciously jumped in, but maybe I did when I asked Ken to marry me because I'd never done that before. So, yeah, we are jumping in. But I am very aware that I want to make the most of the time that we've got. Who in this kitchen is going to be a flower girl at Uma and Granddad's wedding?
Me!
And who's got the prettiest dress?
Me!
You guys both have the same.
And as I say that, I'm not actually envisaging that there will be an end time. Though, if I'm really honest with myself, I know there will be.
So at this point then, what's your biggest hope? I mean, is there hope for another trial?
I'm desperately hoping that I can be alive and well enough for long enough to scrape back in to one of those trials. And I've already bought the dress to my daughter's law graduation, so she's still got 2 years to go. So that's a really concrete hope that I'm holding on to. And I don't think it's pie in the sky. Well, sometimes I do. And I see time in chunks now. You know, 3 to 6 months is now a substantial period of life for me. And I can appreciate that.
So in going overseas, when you go overseas and have that trip, if all is well, you're missing an appointment, aren't you? Like, you're missing a blood test appointment that could potentially trigger another scan if you came up. Does that feel brazen? Does that feel risky?
Yes, but I don't care. Like, if it comes back, I know what that will mean. I want to have a good time. I want to have a really big break of treatments, appointments. I want to go away with my husband-to-be and then with my daughter, and just I want to have a ball and I want to forget about it. So, yeah, it is brazen. It is not what everybody would do, but I'm out of here.
It's cold. Winter's setting in. It's Mother's Day today too, and even though I feel very emotionally rattled, my bowels are going berserk after chemo. Delicate conversation topic, I know. Given that, I'm taking a bit of a risk to get on a train and go down from Newcastle to Sydney today. But I have to. It's Mother's Day. And my daughter's at home where she's living while doing uni. And she's on her own. So I'm taking down some food that I've made. And we're going to hang out and have a beautiful meal together for Mother's Day. Oh, I know it's commercial. I've never really bought into it. But it is
a time that we make to remember how lucky we are. I just can't stay away from it today.
How do you feel about the idea of Mummy being married?
Yeah, it's fine. No, it is fine. When I say it's fine, like, I don't know, Mum, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Because you're cocked out on drugs in a coma. I see it as this kind of, like, announcing to the world, like, that you're a family, you know? And I think that's, like, the main part of it for me.
I'm glad you see it too as the concept, which is what really ties me to it all, is that it is about the family that Ken and I have created, which is us, which is me and Ken, and our
boys.
Children, which is you and Ken's four sons.
Yeah, four boys.
Hey guys, I'm just doing a little interview with Liz, but you can just talk, but I'm just letting you know that that's what we're doing. And Marika, you can keep talking to me.
Okay.
That's fine, isn't it, Liz?
Yeah. Just pretend I'm not
fact,
here.
In fact, that's good.
Yeah.
It's about 3:15. The wedding's at 4. We're on time. We're tight. I think we're tight. I think there's no time to dally.
All right, so how are you feeling?
My lipstick isn't precisely the right colour yet, so it's off. Cancel the whole thing. I feel a bit sick physically. It feels surreal. I feel surreal. I don't feel like I'm me. I feel like I should put thongs and some board shorts on and then I'll be me. But everybody's here and we've had a beautiful afternoon. I lost the plot earlier this morning, soon after I woke up. Now I think I'm fine. I think I'm ready for the show.
I have never been married. I have never been drawn to marry. I have loved and I have been loved, for which I am ever grateful. But the love I have for you, Ken, springs from a place in me that fills me up with happiness and settles me down when I am frightened. I want to stand by you. I want to grow old with you. I love the family that you have raised, each and every one of them, their partners, their children, our grandchildren. Together, I believe that we can plan a future we cannot know, but we can always hope for. That is why I'm here today.
Jill, you have taught me much about love in ways that many books and many years cannot. And to return that love has allowed me to find comfort in an embrace when the bitter storms are raging, and to delight in a sunset on a still azure island lagoon.
Marriage is a lifelong partnership uniting two people in heart, mind and body. Ken and Jill have received these rings as symbols of their love and commitment to the end of their days. In the presence of us all, Jill and Ken have joined hands and made their solemn vows, promising lifelong commitment to each other. I now declare them to be husband and wife.
I feel like the evil person again, pulling you away from your wedding. Okay, so just to start with, what's your name now? Has it changed?
I'm married, but I'm still Jill Emberson. I'm not Jill Lambert.
So how was it? How was the ceremony?
I feel really super ecstatic now. I think it really worked, Liz. I think we really made it work. I think we covered all of the things that make people happy.
The ceremony was so beautiful and just so full of joy, but there was some sadness there as well. How are you feeling now?
I did a lot of crying. I've been crying sort of since about 8:30 this morning, and I feel now that all of the tears have been cried out.
This is the end. This is the end of the podcast. Is there anything you really feel like you want to say?
I have asked myself am I loving life more because I feel that life is more than likely going to be stolen away from me well before I'm ready to go? So if there's a message, it really is grab every day and grab every person and all those cliches like tell people that you love, that you love them. Oh, actually, as I say these things, they sound like bloody cliches, but I really mean it. I guess in the big picture too, I remain devastated that I've got a disease that really shouldn't be killing women like me. And as much as everyone's having a great time, I'd be lying if I didn't say that it was hanging over my head. Doing this interview makes me think about it, but lying down and having a spa and a massage this morning sadly made me think about it because I stopped being busy and it rushed back at me. You know, I think that's sad for me, that's sad for everyone in my life, but I think it shouldn't be like this. And that's still my message. This cancer shouldn't be taking women like me. I've got a lot of living left to do.
Still Jill is reported by Jill Emberson. The editor is Liz Keane. Sound engineering by David LeMay. Commissioning editor is Patrick Emmett. Support on this chapter from Anthony Scully. Distribution by Tim Gerritsen. And executive producer is Liz Keane.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.